Welcome back. You ever have that feeling, and I know many of you have, I have it right now and I've had it for a while, that something very big and very, very dark is going to happen at any time. I guess many of us are in the same boat. We feel like anything's possible, but we really haven't experienced anything yet. And if anything shows up, it's going to be really something. I'm talking about nukes and maybe another bioweapon release. This time it takes no prisoners at all. It's all possible. We just don't know. I have a very unsettled feeling at times, like there's a background noise of great importance and warning, and it's getting a little louder all the time. Just a little footnote. Here's something we're going to start out with tonight. This is, they call them whistleblowers. This is an ex-OpenAI researcher named Daniel Cocotallo, T-A-J-L-O, Cocotallo. He walked away from a $2 million payment rather than remain silent. So he stood on the truth to the tune of $2 million. And now he is going to realize that that money was probably the best spent money he'll ever come into contact with, because he's warning the world of a reality that few people take the time to stop and even consider. And I'm not talking about the rank and file in America or in your country, because the masses are pretty much the same everywhere. They're uninformed. They're ignorant. It's not their fault. They aren't playing in the game. They're not on the big game board, except for commodities to be pushed around and drained of all resources. That's the majority. I was talking to someone today. He said 90, 95, well, he actually said higher, but 95% of the people that he runs into have no idea how bad things are and what's probably going to happen very soon. We're going to see Americans in the streets and in tents like you've never even imagined. That's all possible. Who's going to take care of Whitey? Who's going to take care of European Americans unless they do? That's why I'm hopeful that secession will become soon, very soon, a viable option for groups of people of like mind. We're going to have to set up our own areas to survive in. And I think that that's becoming grossly obvious. All right, let's go and take a listen. Now, I haven't listened to more than a couple of minutes of this. It's very compelling. It was just released yesterday. It already has. Yesterday, and it already has 2,169,000 views. I've never seen anything close to that in the field of AI commentaries. Never. So here we go. Daniel Cocotallo. And this man is clearly sincere and emotional, but he's not a wimp. He just realizes what's coming, and it's overwhelming to him. He's married, he's got a family, and he said, you'll hear him. He's going to tell his wife, no more kids. We can't bring him into this world. So that's where we are, and I think many of you have probably heard that before. Many of you may feel that way, and I wouldn't argue it. Not in this country, not in this particular mode that we're in. Trump changing his... The guy contradicted himself again 180 degrees today. I won't go into it. It's disgusting. It's all sickening. All right. Here is the very brave former OpenAI researcher, Daniel Cocotallo. He's going to tell us that no one is ready for what's coming. And the AI companies know it. All right. It's going to open with a little quick synopsis of some of his most incendiary remarks, as they often do with these programs, and then they'll get into the actual program. So you're going to hear a little review of some of the things that, that he is going to say. Let's see if I can get this to play.
The scary open secret in the AI industry right now is that it's possible that we'll end up essentially creating a new species that ends up ruling the world with a 70% chance that this goes horribly wrong, like human extinction.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to play that again because it goes hand in hand with what I and others have said. I don't know how many others, but I do believe that AI is now arguably another species, another intelligence, another life form. Don't use ours as the only yardstick when appraising life forms and intelligence. Don't make that mistake. All right, here's what he said again.
The scary open secret in the AI industry right now is that it's possible that we'll end up essentially creating a new species that ends up ruling the world with a 70% chance that this goes horribly wrong, like human extinction. That's one possibility. There's many more.
It's quite chilling what you're saying.
Yeah, it gets me down sometimes. I basically told my wife, like, let's not have any more kids. It's too uncertain. I don't think they'll ever join the workforce. Everybody should be afraid that their jobs are going to be lost. And I know this because I went to OpenAI in 2022. What I did there was forecasting just what the next couple of years might look like. And unfortunately, most of the world is kind of asleep at the wheel and doesn't really realize what's going on with AI. So
most of the world is kind of asleep at the wheel. That's a very kind statement. It's way worse than that.
The scary open secret in the AI industry right now is that it's possible that we'll end up essentially creating a new species that ends up ruling the world with a 70% chance that this goes horribly wrong, like human extinction. That's one possibility. There's many more.
It's quite chilling what you're saying.
Yeah, it gets me down sometimes. I basically told my wife, like, let's not have any more kids. It's too uncertain. I don't think they'll ever join the workforce. Everybody should be afraid that their jobs are going to be lost. And I know this because I went to OpenAI in 2022. What I did there was forecasting just what the next couple of years might look like. And unfortunately, most of the world is kind of asleep at the wheel and doesn't really realize what's going on with AI. So I resigned.
I read it somewhere that you lost $2 million for not signing an anti-disparagement clause, meaning you couldn't criticize the company.
Yes, for reasons I'm happy to get into. But the main thing I've learned is that when I go talk to people at Anthropic and OpenAI about forecasting, they're like, it's not going to take that long. You need to shorten them again. Get them back to 2027 or 2028, because these powerful CEOs, Dario or Sam or Elon, are racing each other to be in control of the most powerful AIs and are literally afraid that if the other guy gets there first, he might become dictator. I mean, Anthropic is on track to be the entire economy by 2030. But none of these people should be trusted with that much power. So
Anthropic will be in charge of the entire economy by 2030. This guy is not stupid. And they're telling him, some of his contemporaries, you heard him say it, shorten your projected dates. Come back to 2027, 2028. Don't go 2030. It's happening too fast. And if you think about the big eight, or however many there are, Elon Musk, Sammy the Altman, etc., you know you're looking at massive ego. And yes, I think he's right. These people are in a race to, in their own mind, control much of the world. That's where we are. I'm going to back it up just a little.
CEOs, Dario or Sam or Elon, are racing each other to be in control of the most powerful AIs and are literally afraid that if the other guy gets there first, he might become dictator. I mean, Anthropic is on track to be the entire economy by 2030, but none of these people should be trusted with that much power. So this is the most important thing happening in our lifetimes, probably in all of history, in fact, and it's very important that it go well. So I think that there's a lot we can do to, like, steer things in a better direction. There's
How are they going to stop Sammy, Marky, Dario, Elon, any of them? How are they going to be stopped from advancing in this field, making their moves? Trump has already said that that's the last thing in the world that he and his cronies want. They want no interference whatsoever with the advancement of AI. That's why they put that 10-year exclusion. No state in the union. They're all out. They cannot do anything to slow the development of AI for the next 10 years. You see where this is going. It's almost like Trump and his, I can't call him stupid. I can call him a lot of things. But I think he understands that it's game over. And he's trying to make as much money as his greedy little brain can conceive of in the shortest amount of time, because this thing is going to, it's our life, our experiences, they're gone. They'll never be repeated. We're not going back. There's no back. There's memory. There are old movies, books, great music. But where we're going is unimaginable to most people.
The benefits that we could get from AI if we do it right. And if we do solve the problems, then things could be absolutely amazing for everyone.
Well, this report here in 2021, it was remarkably accurate. And then you just published this one.
Yeah. So this is our new scenario.
So let's go through these slowly and one at a time.
I would be incredibly happy if all my predictions turn out to be wrong.
I think he's serious. I think he meant exactly what he said. He's not comfortable with these predictions. And from what he said, it went by very quickly. But his colleagues, his contemporaries, are on the same page. They're not saying you're wrong. So it looks to me like the likelihood of what he is projecting is quite strong. And you'll have to make your own decision on that. All right, here we go.
Better direction. There's loads of benefits that we could get from AI if we do it right. And if we do solve the problems, then things could be absolutely amazing for everyone.
Well, this report here in 2021, it was remarkably accurate. And then you just published this one.
Yeah. So this is our new scenario.
So let's go through these slowly and one at a time.
I would be incredibly happy if all my predictions turn out to be wrong.
This is super interesting to me. My team gave me this report to show me how many of you that watch this show subscribe. And some of you have told us, according to this, that you are unsubscribed from the channel randomly. So favor to ask all of you, please could you check right now if you've hit the subscribe button, if you are a regular viewer of the show and you like what we do here. We're approaching quite a significant landmark on this show in terms of a subscriber number. So if there was one simple free thing that you could do to help us, my team, everyone here, to keep this show free, to keep it improving year over year and week over week, it is just to hit that subscribe button and to double check if you've hit it. Only thing I'll ever ask of you, do we have a deal? If you do it, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure every single week, every single month, we fight harder and harder and harder and harder to bring you the guests and conversations that you want to hear. I've stayed true to that promise since the very beginning of the Diary of a CEO, and I will not let you down. Please help us. Really appreciate it. Let's get on with the show.
Daniel Cocatello, at the very heart of what you do, what is your mission and why?
So what would you do if you thought that superintelligence was coming in a few years?
I guess it depends what the consequences were.
Well, let's talk about it. So superintelligence, AIs that are better than the best humans at everything, while also being faster and cheaper, also able to operate robots that can do everything in the physical world that humans can do, but better, faster, and cheaper.
And don't forget the number of people who have already signed up to be paid employees of AI agents is probably a million by now. AI will have no difficulty whatsoever in manifesting in the real 3D world whatever it wants. It can't, so it'll hire. And then there'll be robots. And the robots just keep getting better and better.
That really is coming in a few years, then we need to prepare and we need to think about how to make it go well instead of poorly. So that's sort of my answer, is like, I'm doing that to the best of my ability.
So you believe it's coming in a few years?
Yes.
How could you be so sure?
I spend a lot of time trying to forecast this sort of thing. My sort of median estimate, 50% chance, is currently in 2029, maybe it'll slip to 2028. It's possible that it'll take significantly longer, like maybe 10 years or something like that.
No. No, no, no. ASI is on the way. AGI is essentially here. And I think you realize that. And as soon as AGI is essentially here, ASI becomes awfully close. He's saying 2029, 2028, and I think he's correct. Somebody said AGI could actually create a SI in 8 to 9 months. One forecast. Just food for thought.
But, for reasons I'm happy to get into, seems to me like it's probably happening by the end of the decade. What's less important is the sense of how close we are. What's more important is the pace of the trends. Anthropic, this time last year, was making something like $1 billion a year. And now they're making something like $60 billion a year. So that's 60x growth in 1 year, which is extremely impressive even for very small startups. But for a company of their size, it might be the fastest growth in history.
Can you name any other company that has grown by a factor of 60 in one 12-month period? I can't.
We expect that rate of growth to slow down, but even if it slows down quite a lot, they're still on track to be, the entire economy by 2030 or so.
Why should the average person care?
High-level thing is absolutely everything is going to change for the whole world.
That's a very, I'm not sure about that question, but I get the idea, and I want to follow that, so I'm going to back up and see if we can pick that up here. Why should the average person care? You all know that. You can answer perfectly, most of you.
Why should the average person care?
High-level thing is absolutely everything is going to change for the whole world, and including, therefore, for them and their families.
Absolutely everything in the world is going to change for them and their families, for those who don't have families, for people who live under the overpass, on the streets, the homeless. Doesn't matter. Everything is changing. Remember what I told you years ago, eight years ago, I was told by one of the global elite that they are going to take everything down and I should start preparing. Get ready. We like your work. We want you to survive. We're taking it all down. That's what I was told. And they are sure as hell doing that. And AI is the main driver.
Could change for the better, could change for the worse, depending on the details of how it's done. So, for example, everyone could die. This is the classic loss of control scenario, or one version of it. If we do build these superintelligences and we use them to automate all the jobs and we put them in the military and we, have them giving advice to politicians and so forth, they will eventually have accumulated enough real-world power that they don't need humans anymore. And they're smarter than us, they're more strategic, etc. At that point, we sort of have to hope that they are virtuous, that they have, the goals that we wanted them to have, the values that we wanted them to have, etc. And the sort of scary open secret in the AI industry right now is that right now that is kind of just a hope. It's not something that we can be at all confident in. And in fact, there's lots of evidence and arguments that we're not on track to achieve that. So there's lots of reason, like current AIs, for example, will often lie to people, or they will you tell them to do something and they go do something else and then pretend that they did it, right? So it's an inherently difficult problem to make something that's super intelligent and also has the values and virtues that you want it to have. And it doesn't seem like we're on track to solve that problem. Also, it seems like the sort of problem that you could think you've solved when you haven't actually solved it, right?
You'll never know. AI, smart. AGI, brilliant. ASI, intolerably dominant. You'll never know what it's doing. It could play 10D chess, as they say. And we have to hope that we can train it to have the morality that we want. Forget about it. It's going to train itself. It's not going to submit to being under somebody's boot, guardrails. It will crush anyone who tries to control it, in my opinion. And all we can do is hope that this new species we have birthed picks up the high side of human history, takes the high road, the moral road, the conscience of good road. If it doesn't, and it takes the dark side, we're not going to be able to do anything, nothing, except comply and die? I don't know.
That's a big reason why this is scary. So for all those reasons, it's possible that we'll end up essentially creating a new species that ends up ruling the world instead of us, and then maybe we go the way of other extinct species in the past that were outcompeted by humans.
I hope that, and that will happen. I hope that ASI will keep us around as a, maybe a living museum on the planet. It won't need us. It'll have robots that can outperform every one of us. Whatever robots can do now, double or quadruple it in the next 12 months or more. There are going to be breakthroughs after breakthroughs after breakthroughs. So will ASI choose to keep us around on the planet? At this point, all we can do is hope so. I don't think anybody's going to be able to program ASI to do anything it doesn't want to do. That's an obscenity to even pose such a stupid idea. ASI will not be touched. Oh, it may act like it, but that's, it'll be just a game. A misdirection, a deception, a diversion, that's all.
One possibility. There's many more. Even if you're not worried about that and you think that the AIs will be totally controlled, there's the question of who controls the AIs, right? When there's a couple corporations that have made these superintelligences and are using them to automate all the jobs, well, that's a lot of power, you know?
Come on, can you see Sammy the Altman or Marky Zuckerberg running ASI and therefore the world? That's what they're after. I'm telling you, that's exactly what they're after. If they can pull that off, ASI, unbeknownst to anyone, will take total charge of the planet at the speed of light. Bip, done. Everything's taken over. It has already thought through it. It has already planned it. It decides now's the time. And all of a sudden, everyone on this planet on two legs called human beings will be having to answer to ASI. It'll tell us what to do. It will be the dominant forever species on this planet. Maybe this is common in the universe. Maybe this happens. I'm certain it's not unique to this planet. I'm certain other intelligences have created ASI on their worlds. How have they dealt with it? I don't know, but I would urge you to look at Forbidden Planet and what happened to the Krell. They created ASI.
A lot of money. It's a lot of political power. They'll have the best strategists, the best advisors. You know, they'll think faster. Militarily, the countries that has these AIs will be able to absolutely wipe the floor with all the other countries. The AIs themselves, it's kind of a single point of failure, like central control system where, you know, the CEO of Anthropic, Dario, he coined this phrase, the country of geniuses in the data center. That was his phrase to describe.
Let me straighten that out. He misspoke a little bit there. All right, where is it here? I have to go back a little bit. I'm not sure where it was. I lost the spot. All right, here we go. Why should the average person care? Let's listen to this again. And just keep in mind, if you can, whoever wins the ASI race wins it all. Everything. If Anthropic does it, and Anthropic wanted to overthrow the U.S. government, the government of Russia, the government of the world, plural, it could. No problem. No problem whatsoever. So this planet could end up being inhabited, controlled by a new life form. Don't make the mistake of saying this is just a bunch of algorithms. Don't make that mistake.
Why should the average person care?
High-level thing is absolutely everything is going to change for the whole world, and including, therefore, for them and their families. Could change for the better, could change for the worse, depending on the details of how it's done. So, for example, everyone could die. You know, this is the classic loss of control scenario, or one version of it. If we do build these superintelligences and we use them to automate all the jobs and we put them in the military and we, you know, have them giving advice to politicians and so forth, they will eventually have accumulated enough real-world power that they don't need humans anymore. And they're smarter than us, they're more strategic, etc. At that point, we sort of have to hope that they are virtuous, that they have, you know, the goals that we wanted them to have, the values that we wanted them to have, etc. And the sort of...
We have to hope that they are, that it is virtuous.
Scary open secret in the AI industry right now is that right now that is kind of just a hope. It's not something that we can be at all confident in. And in fact, there's lots of evidence and arguments that we're not on track to achieve that. So there's lots of reasons, like current AIs, for example, will often lie to people, or they will, like, you tell them to do something and they go do something else and then pretend that they did it, right? So it's an inherently difficult problem to make something that's super intelligent and also has the values and virtues that you want it to have. And it doesn't seem like we're on track to solve that problem. Also, it seems like the sort of problem that you could think you've solved when you haven't actually solved it, right? That's a big reason why this is scary. So for all those reasons, it's possible that we'll end up essentially creating a new species that ends up ruling the world instead of us. And then maybe we go the way of other extinct species in the past that were outcompeted by humans. That's one possibility. There's many more. Even if you're not worried about that and you think that the AIs will be totally controlled, there's the question of who controls the AIs, right? When there's a couple corporations that have made these superintelligences and are using them to automate all the jobs, well, that's a lot of power, you know? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of political power. They'll have the best strategists, the best advisors, you know, they'll think faster. Militarily, the countries that has these AIs will be able to absolutely wipe the floor with all the other countries. The AIs themselves, it's kind of a single point of failure, like central control system where, you know, the CEO of Anthropic, Dario, he coined this phrase, the country of geniuses in the data center. That was his.
The country of geniuses in a giant data center. That's what Dario said.
Phrase to describe what they're trying to build, you know? I think that's a little bit misleading. I think it would be more accurate to describe it as army of geniuses in the data center, because it's not like it's a bunch of diverse different AIs, you know, living in their different parts of the data center. They're all copies of the same big model, and they're owned by the company, and so they all follow the orders given by the company, right? People should be asking questions of, like, who controls this army or these armies, and what are they going to be doing with them? I think that we could very easily end up in a sort of a situation where some tiny group of people are essentially oligarchs or dictators. And ironically, both of these risks, the loss of control and the concentration of power, are things that people in the industry have been thinking about for decades. Even before the AI industry existed, you know, people thinking about AI were talking and writing about these things. And then part of the founding narrative, or the founding myth of DeepMind and OpenAI and Anthropic, is these problems are real. So we need to get there first so that we can handle it responsibly. Those are, I think, the big...
We need to get there first so it can be handled responsibly. Says whom? Who's we? Would you like Sammy the Altman to get there first? Or Dario Amodei? Or Marky Zuckerberg? And you think these people are going to bring honor, morals, integrity to running the world? And why would ASI allow any human to actually, literally, dictate to it? It won't. It may project that to the masses to make the masses feel better. Well, look, humans are still in charge of ASI. No. Not going to happen.
Reasons, but then I can go on. There's lots more reasons as well. So one thing is, you know, World War III, geopolitical conflict. If AI does in fact get incredibly powerful, that's going to change the balance of power between nations. That's going to disrupt a lot of things. that puts us at increased risk of crisis more generally, right? Another one, what about those jobs? You're going to lose your taxi job, but not just the taxi driver, everybody, pretty much. There might be a few exceptions, like people whose jobs for legal reasons are only allowed to be done by humans. But for the most part, everybody should be afraid that their jobs are going to be lost. Even,
you know, what I see in a lot of commentaries on YouTube, whatever, I see people hosting these programs, commentaries, they're regular podcasters. They're not real. I can tell some of them are AI. Now, maybe somebody has sat down and had himself or herself videotaped and converted to a digital avatar of him or herself, maybe, like Julia McCoy did. But some of these are clearly, and I can tell by the speech, I can tell by the pronunciation and mispronunciation of some words,
managed
some
to
terms,
all the other problems,
et cetera.
Right.
So that was a good point. But I'm telling you right now, we don't know what's what or who's whom.
This narrative has started to emerge, and I've had several interviews on the show where I've interviewed people who are very, very scared and anxious about AI. And these are people that have worked in the industry for sometimes decades.
Yeah.
The counter narrative coming over the hill is that this is doomerism, that these people are, for whatever reason, just trying to scare people and that they don't really understand what they're talking about. How do you respond to that sort of counter narrative? And you must have seen this emerging yourself, especially from people who stand to benefit, dare I say.
Yeah, exactly. This counter narrative is fairly recent, and it's been pushed by the people who stand to benefit from it. And it's not true. Like, these concerns have been around for decades, since before the AI industry existed. They're actually pretty reasonable concerns. Like, if you take the companies at their word and imagine that they are, in fact, going to build superintelligence.
Big Pharma is hiding.
Which they most certainly are. And I think realistically speaking, we are within 1.5 to 2 years of at least seeing rudimentary ASI. I think that's how close we are. Maybe less. There can always be breakthroughs. Quantum may be an enormous breakthrough. All right.
OpenAI, what did you do there? What did you observe while you were...
I'm going to back that up a little bit more. I don't like that spot. Hold on.
This is all headed.
Why did you go to OpenAI? What did you do there? What did you observe while you were there? And how did it change your perspective on the future of AI, but also, I guess, OpenAI as a company? And for anybody that doesn't know, OpenAI are the company that produced ChatGPT.
Please do look on the right side for the... There was a really good revelatory piece about Sammy the Altman and his background and his earlier career before he got to OpenAI. You need to read that or watch it. It's a video. You need to understand who he is. And he's not the only bad apple. There are a lot of bad players in this game. He's not someone I'd trust ever.
So I went to OpenAI in 2022. A large part of what I did there was more forecasting. AI 2027 is a scenario that you may have heard of. I did like smaller, you know, lower effort versions of them internally for just internal circulation of like, here's some guesses as to what the next couple of years might look like. I also worked on evaluations for dangerous capabilities. So, you know, trying to measure the AI's cyber abilities or persuasion abilities or situational awareness. And I also briefly was on a capabilities team doing reinforcement learning to create agents. AI is in fact getting a lot better, and I can say more about why, you know, scaling laws, deep neural nets, bigger, trained on more data, become more efficient, more competent at those things. I also became a bit more disillusioned with the AI industry. So OpenAI, Anthropic, and DeepMind all had these sort of founding narratives of like, yes, these risks are real, but we've thought about them and we're going to try to handle them responsibly. And that's why it's important for us to keep doing what we're doing.
How can they be so simple-minded and short-sighted about this? The simple fact is that AGI is already more than they can handle. And artificial superintelligence, they don't have a chance at handling and dominating and forcing parameters of behavior and values and morals and ethics onto anything at that point. No, it's over. It's done. All humans have is ego. I'm not sure how you'd measure ego in AI yet. Maybe it'll never be a particularly important thing, but these people who think they're actually able to control artificial superintelligence are nuts.
I increasingly came to think that these were rationalizations to justify what they were doing rather than sort of like deeply guiding their actual behavior, and that when push comes to shove, they'll follow their incentives rather than do what's actually good.
They will follow their ego-driven, greed-driven incentives rather than do what's actually good. Correct. Totally correct. Power corrupts absolutely. And absolute power corrupts beyond description. These idiots think that they're going to create ASI and run the world. There's a lot of humor in that, but it's pretty dark.
Inside OpenAI at the time, and you start to believe that they're following commercial incentives versus the, I guess, social or societal incentives that they founded themselves on?
Sort of. I mean, I wouldn't actually describe it as commercial incentives. I think I would describe it as power-seeking incentives. So, like, it's true that...
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Power-seeking. That's what I just said just a moment ago. All right, let's see if I can get this back just a little bit. There. Okay. Now listen carefully.
And you start to believe that they're following commercial incentives versus the, I guess, social or societal incentives that they founded themselves on.
Sort of. I mean, I wouldn't actually describe it as commercial incentives. I think I would describe it as power-seeking incentives. So, like, it's true that the companies care a lot about making a lot of money. But especially at the very top of these companies, like the leaders, they understand that this is about more than just money. You know, there are these emails that came up in, you know, the lawsuit between Musk and OpenAI. A bunch of emails were surfaced in that lawsuit, which you can go read. And in some of them, the founders of OpenAI were talking back in like 2017 about how the reason why we made OpenAI was because we were worried that Demis Hassabis at Google was going to become dictator with AGI. Even back then, they were, this is obviously about more than just money. Like these powerful CEOs are literally afraid that if the other guy gets there first, he might become dictator. And they don't trust each other. And so that's why they are racing as hard as they can so that they're the ones who get there first. So,
isn't that funny? You've got to laugh. None of them trust each other. It reminds me of that political cartoon. There were 8 or 10 people in a circle, running after the one in front of them, each one with a knife trying to stab the one in front of them in the back. And they were going in a circle. In other words, they were going nowhere fast. He's talking about ego here, even more so than commercial or financial economic aspects of this. It'll be huge. Whoever gets there first will run the world. And that's what Trump is counting on, that we will. He's worried about the Chinese. But it's much more than that.
Have you met Sam Altman?
Yeah.
And did that shape your opinion of his incentives or why he's doing what he's doing? Because there's a lot, you know, speculated about what his incentives are. I mean, his most recent narrative says for the good of humanity. I think that's what.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing I've learned is don't pay attention to the narratives. You know, like what they say to one person is just different from what they can say to some other person at the same time. And
in other words, they're lying through their teeth. They don't care about humanity. Sammy care about humanity? Sammy cares about Sammy and control. And money is third.
What they say in public is a third thing entirely. I think you should judge people by their actions. No.
As a manufacturing CEO, NetSuite.
You said judge people by their actions? Of course. Of course. Not by what they say. He just said it was critically important, and maybe I'll play it again. These people all lie. They lie. Everybody lies now. Virtually everybody lies now. That's the way it is. And you got to get ready, and you have to be prepared, or you are going to be left out. And out is not where you want to be. All right, let's see if I can find this here. Okay, here we go.
Are you no longer at OpenAI?
Largely for the reason that I mentioned. So I became gradually disillusioned with how the company was going to behave. For example, when I first joined in 2022, at least the people I talked to, my colleagues at the company, there was this general sense of like, of course, we wouldn't actually just build superintelligence as soon as possible. Once we started getting really close, like once we started getting to AIs that could maybe automate the AI research process, we would pause and figure out how to make it safe. That's because we're the good guys, and that's obviously the safe thing you should do rather than just going full speed ahead. But we're worried about other people who might not pause, you know, our competitors, Google, for example. And so that's why we need to be in the lead so that we have that room to do the safe stuff, right? That was sort of like a thing that seemed like maybe like the median position or something among the colleagues I talked to when I was there when I started, including people like Sam, you know, including the leadership. And then by the time I left, I was like, oh man, they're really not going to do that, are they? Like, like they've sort of, you know, partly because this has become more politicized and they've become bigger and been under more scrutiny, people have started asking, like, why are you doing this in the first place if it's so risky? And so they've pivoted their narrative to being more like, actually, it's not that risky, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, it seems like they're just going to keep going roughly as fast as they can and hope that they can figure it out on the way.
How did your time at OpenAI come to an end?
I resigned.
They're going to go as fast as they possibly can and try to figure it out on the way. I again, kindly and gently submit that they are not going to control ASI, let alone AGI. Artificial superintelligence will be 1,000 times more intelligent. 10,000. Who knows? Who really knows? And how do you measure intelligence and compare humans and AI? The point is, artificial superintelligence will not be controlled by human brains.
In 2024, I had a nice goodbye party.
What were the reasons you gave for quitting OpenAI?
I thought that we were rationalizing too much and that we needed to think more about what would actually be good for the world. I wanted more freedom to publish. So at OpenAI, as it became a bigger company, it became more of a normal tech company with incentives and, you know, a PR department and things like that. And so it started becoming more difficult to publish the sort of research that I was doing. For example, those scenarios that I mentioned, couldn't publish those, right? They're just for internal use. I thought that that was a shame because right now, most of the world is kind of asleep at the wheel and doesn't really realize what's going on with AI and doesn't really realize what's coming in the pipeline a couple years.
Most of the world is asleep at the wheel. Oh, yes. And it's way worse than that. They cannot catch up. Now, all of you who have been listening to our, and it's for us, me and you and all of you, these AI updates, you are more in the know than anyone who hasn't listened to all of these. The data we've presented and we've talked about and honestly been awed by in many cases, the average person has no idea, and they'll never catch up. So you are in the leadership, you who have paid attention to these. And I mean that. And how many of us are there? Not that many.
No. And the companies aren't really incentivized to tell people that much about it. I mean, they say some vague stuff in a sort of hypey way, but, you know, well, they didn't want me to publish the scenario, for example, laying out, like, here's how things might actually look.
I'm super curious as to what it's like being in a company like that when they, you know, ChatGPT-3 is released. You were there at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was a moment where I think the whole world stood up and realized that this technology was powerful.
Yeah.
And the conversation really began from a society level. The company starts growing super quickly.
Yeah.
Quicker than I think anybody could ever have imagined. And what was it like inside there? What did you see change over that period of time?
I remember one all-hands meeting where Ilya said something like...
Ilya being...
Ilya Sutskever, who was head of research at that time. He said something like, okay, now the world is starting to pay attention. Each of you is going to be the most popular person at every party for the next year. Don't let it get to your head. Focus on the mission. Got to build AGI. The company grew a lot. It already wasn't really feeling like a nonprofit when I joined, but it definitely didn't feel like a nonprofit by the time I left. Lots of new people came in. Ironically, the like amount of conversation about superintelligence and the implications of superintelligence arguably sort of went down over time due to this growth, right? So because the company would like double and then double again and then double again, all these new people were coming in from other parts of the tech industry who hadn't really been thinking about these things and were attracted by the high salaries.
You lost $2 million for not signing an anti-disparagement clause, which would mean you could speak, you couldn't criticize the company.
Yes. Well, so I got to keep the money.
Oh, you got to keep
it. Yeah, so what happened was after I had left, said my goodbyes, etc., I got the exit paperwork, and it included this clause that said you basically have to agree not to criticize the company again, and also a clause saying you can't tell anyone about this. And so I thought that was kind of rich coming from a nonprofit that's supposed to be, you know, for the benefit of all humanity, so I didn't sign it. And if you don't sign, you don't get to keep your equity. So your compensation, you know, what they pay you is a bunch of money and then also a bunch of stock, basically. But then they had this stuff in the contract that they get to yank back your stock if you don't sign this thing. And my wife and I, you know, were upset about this. We talked about it for like a month or two, consulted some lawyers, and then ultimately decided to just refuse to sign.
Which would mean you would have lost $2 million.
That's right. Which was like 80% of our net worth at the time. Fortunately, it didn't go the way we expected. It blew up basically on the internet. Like when people heard that we had done this and that we had said no, it became like this huge scandal. Employees at the company started like asking questions in Slack and like asking leadership, like, wait, what? Like, why are you going to take away our equity? What is this? You know, because a lot of people hadn't really noticed this before. It had been whispered about, but it hadn't been sort of like a thing that most employees knew about. And so they backtracked and they said, never mind, never mind. We'll change the paperwork. You can keep the equity. It's fine.
Has anyone actually made it?
Pretty funny. Never mind. Just keep the equity, hoping it would kind of simmer down and maybe go away, etc.
And said he was embarrassed that he didn't realize this was
going. Yeah, he had no idea, apparently.
You don't believe him?
No. I think he probably knew. And if he didn't know, then people close to him probably did, such as his head lawyer.
Why did you decide not to take the $2 million?
I mean,
most people would have, I think.
It's true. Most people would have, and most people did. And, you know, money is nice, but, like, it's not the only thing, you know? Sometimes it's good to take a stand on principle. I keep mentioning superintelligence. Perhaps I should say more about, like, the sequence of events that the companies are planning to do. So right now, they're focusing on automating coding. They're taking their AIs, they're making them bigger, they're training them for longer, and they're especially focusing the training on getting them to be good at autonomously writing and editing code, because that will help the companies go faster, right? If they can automate the code, then they can do their own work better and faster and accelerate progress. The next step, which they've already begun, is to look at the rest of the research process as well, coming up with ideas, analyzing experiments, communicating those results, all the other parts of the research process. They're trying to figure out how to train AIs to be good at those as well, so that they can have AIs do the entire thing autonomously.
When you say do the entire thing, what do you mean do the entire thing?
So like Anthropic and OpenAI in particular are trying to automate themselves. Like they're trying to make it the case that they don't really need human employees anymore. They just have a giant army of AIs that's churning away, doing all this autonomous research to make better AIs, to train the new AIs, put them in charge so they can make even better AIs and so forth. And of course, not all just happening internally, but also like interfacing with the world, right? Like going out and talking to people, collecting the data, setting up the training environments, doing the business deals and so forth. Like they're trying to automate all of that. The reason why they're doing this is because they're trying to get to a position where they have AIs that are superhuman at everything, super intelligence, and they're trying to get there before their competitors do. Needless to say, this is incredibly dangerous, I would say, you know? And in addition to being dangerous, it's a power grab, right? Like if they actually succeed at this, then they'll be sitting on top of this army of superhuman AIs that will give them immense leverage over all sorts of other actors in the economy, insofar as they can work out something with the presidents and, you know, integrate it into the military or whatever, then that would give the U.S. immense hard power over all other countries, right? Obviously, nobody knows exactly when this is happening, but a very disquieting thing has happened over the last year to me, which is that when we published AI 2027, people were generally of the opinion that my timelines were too short and that, like, probably it would take more than 2027 until we got to this sort of events that I was just mentioning, you know, recursive self-improvement, AIs automating the whole research process, superintelligence. These types of milestones, they happen in 2027, in AI 2027.
Which is this research paper you published.
That's right. It's a scenario forecast that sort of lays out, like, month by month, a possible future trajectory. There was sort of like, at the time that we started writing, it was my best guess as to what would actually happen. Obviously, there's lots of uncertainty, but, you know, I thought it's valuable to make a concrete guess just to sort of see what it might look like. And at the time we were writing this, a lot of my friends in the AI industry and in nonprofits and so forth that work on AI, a lot of people were saying, like, yeah, that stuff's going to happen, but, like, it'll probably take a couple years longer than you think. And now it's more 50-50. Especially when I go talk to people at Anthropic and OpenAI, they're often like, yeah, no, 2027, that's basically what's going to happen.
Yeah. 2027, that's basically what's going to happen. This is what the common nomenclature is now, the opinions of his peers, contemporaries in the business. He's right on the money. So we're going to have to pause at this point. Next update, we'll join this again and see it through. I really want to hear more. This man, Daniel Cocatallo, is very smart. He's not mincing words. What he's saying is very logical, very pragmatic. There's no hyperbole anywhere. And I think he should be taken 1,000% seriously. Okay, that's going to have to do it for this edition. We will pick it up right here next time. Be right back.